Hello and welcome to the Money Talk podcast. I'm Toby Sims. Today on the show, we're taking a look at sustainable investing and asking the age-old question of whether investing ethically really need come at the expense of returns. Recent Fidelity research looking at company performance over 2020 suggests it doesn't, and that, in fact, the opposite may be true. Companies that boast strong sustainability credentials have actually outperformed those that don't this year. If you enjoy the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Sustainable investing is the hot topic in the financial world at the moment, and with good reason. With the climate crisis ever closer in focus, and 2020 bringing some glaring social issues to the fore, it really does feel like this year could be something of a watershed moment for how people invest. As more and more money pours into ESG funds, that is, funds that demonstrate strong environmental, social, and governance credentials, it's clear that increasing numbers of investors are concerned just as much about the societal impact of the companies they invest in as they are about the returns they generate. But therein lies the problem that sustainable investing has long had to deal with. There's always been this lingering assumption that anyone who invests ethically or sustainably, or however you want to put it, that they risk doing so at the expense of returns, i.e., you can't have both at the same time. Or can you? Now that's the question we'll be looking at today, and to help answer it, I'm joined by Tom Stevenson, Investment Director here at Fidelity. Tom, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, Toby.
Now, before we start looking at the relationship between returns and sustainability, perhaps it's best, Tom, if you take us through exactly what it is we mean when we talk about sustainable investing, because it's something perhaps that listeners haven't come across before, or perhaps they have, but they've heard it referred to in lots of different ways. So what exactly are we talking about here?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Toby. And I think that the problem is one of terminology. There's a lot of talk about sustainable investing at the moment, but people talk about it in different ways. And clearly, it means slightly different things to different people. You talked about the three main areas of focus there: environmental, social, and governance. And I guess if you look back historically, environmental concerns have been the primary focus in this area. And this year, I think, you know, with the pandemic, I think that the social issues have come more to the fore. And I think, you know, in the background, governance has always been an issue for investors, particularly sort of professional investors. They've focused on that aspect for some time. But I guess, you know, there's a spectrum here of concerns. If you think about responsible or ethical, sustainable investment, you know, there is a spectrum that goes from, you know, what we might call traditional investing on one end, which really has no regard for those environmental, social and governance factors, is purely driven by concern about the return of the investments, all the way over to the far end where you've got at the extreme philanthropy, where people are really just concerned about the social or the environmental outcome, and they're not concerned about returns at all. But the bit in the middle is the bit that we're interested in as investors. And it's this area in the middle where you start to have different types of different flavors of sustainable investing, focusing maybe on themes, clean energy, ethical areas, negative screening, for example, keeping things out of a portfolio, positive screening, keeping things in a portfolio, and impact investing is another area that people focus on, targeting social and environmental impact, trying to make a difference to the world. So, you know, that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour, but what it shows is that it's a varied area, it's a big and complicated area, but it's an area which people are showing much more interest in this year than they have ever before.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I suppose, in principle, all of this is nothing new. We may have listeners thinking, you know, those philanthropists you were talking about, who may be thinking, well, I've been investing like this since I began investing. I think it's that area in the middle you were talking about, where this has really fleshed out over the years. It's kind of the prominence of ESG investing, isn't it, which has changed. And I suppose the ease with which people can invest in a way which suits their priorities, that's what's really changed over recent years, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is changing. I think we've got a long way to go yet. I think it's easier for people to find information about the sustainability characteristics of the funds that they invest in. I think that fund managers are much more explicit now than they have been in the past about their intentions, what they're trying to achieve with their funds from a sustainability perspective, and that's really helpful for investors. You know, they clearly have to get over the sort of jargon element here and make sure that they understand the terminology. But I think it is, if that is the way that you want to invest, that's what you're concerned about, I think it is much easier to align your money and your morals than it was 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I suppose the other element which has meant that sustainable investing has never really been quite the norm is precisely what we're going to be focusing on today. So that's the idea that investing in this kind of a way means that you inherently surrender on a level of return. So I guess the idea here kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If you are unwilling to invest in a certain industry or certain companies from an ethical perspective, so for instance, if you are unwilling to invest in arms companies, then you could debar yourself from what could end up being quite a lucrative industry, couldn't you?
Yes, I mean, I think as soon as you start excluding certain companies from your potential universe of investments, then almost by definition, you're looking at a smaller group of potential investments, and potentially you are excluding companies which could do quite well. I think the debate in sustainable investing has moved on from that, though, and it's moved on to a question of actually whether sustainability is a kind of proxy for the quality of a company. And actually, by excluding companies which are not sustainable, you know, you are arguably not cutting yourself off from high returns. You're probably protecting yourself from problems down the track. I mean, that's the sort of fundamental argument for sustainable investing. So yes, in theory, I would agree. You know, you are limiting the size of your universe and then potentially cutting yourself off from returns. I think, as we're going to discuss now, you know, the reality is that that is not the case.
Yeah, precisely. So Fidelity has conducted a bit of research over company performance, specifically looking at ESG-focused companies over this year. And that does seem to bear out that point you made just then. So can you explain a bit what this research is telling us?
Yeah, so I mean, there have actually been two bits of research. I mean, the first bit of research was carried out earlier on in the year, just shortly after we'd had the big fall in stock markets as the pandemic broke. And what we wanted to do was analyse whether companies with good sustainability characteristics in those three areas we've talked about, environmental, social, and governance, actually performed better as markets fell. And the conclusion we came to was that they had actually. So the sustainability actually protected investors on the way down. More recently, obviously, markets have bounced back very strongly this year, and we thought that this provided us with a really useful opportunity to see what had happened to those sustainable companies over the whole cycle, so the down cycle and then the recovery cycle as well. So we re-ran the analysis, and essentially, in-house here at Fidelity, we analyse companies on the basis of these sustainability criteria, and we give them a ranking, A to E. And we wanted to then see how the performance mapped against those ratings. And rather gratifyingly, we found that, you know, over the whole of the first 9 months of the year, so both down and up markets, companies with strong sustainability characteristics, the A in our categorization, actually performed better than the B, which performed better than the C and the D and the E. So there was a linear correlation between sustainability and performance.
Okay, well, that sounds good, doesn't it? This sounds like good news. We've got a bit of a best of both worlds. You're investing in a sustainable way, but you're also kind of looking at the returns, which perhaps you thought you wouldn't get previously. I suppose one concern here could be is that we're mixing up a correlation with causation. That is, It could just be coincidence that those companies with good ESG credentials just happen to be better companies, right? And again, this kind of makes sense. Those companies which are well-governed, which can show they have a positive societal environmental impact, it kind of makes sense that these would be high-quality companies, doesn't it? And then, you know, that's all well and good, but the worry then might be that their outperformance this year has actually nothing to do with the positive impact they're having, but really just comes down to them being higher quality companies.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a very fair challenge, and it's a challenge which the analysts who put together this work addressed in the research. So what they wanted to do was to exclude that possibility that there was a sort of category error in our thinking here. And the way that they did that was to divide the companies up on the basis of their return on equity. So that was for them was a kind of proxy for quality. So high return on equity companies are the sort of high quality companies, low return on equity, the low quality companies. And then they reran the analysis on the basis of the environmental, social and governance factors within each of those buckets, if you like, of companies. And what they found was that it was still consistent. So within the high quality companies, the best performance still came from the most sustainable companies. And the same was true within the lower quality companies. You still got a benefit from having more sustainability. So, you know, I thought that was quite a neat way of showing that really this is about the sustainability. It's not just about the quality of the company.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so that does all sound fairly positive. I suppose, you know, we talked about how sustainability has come more to the fore over the past couple of years. But is there anything really which can explain this kind of performance? Has anything in particular changed that these good ESG companies are now performing better? Or has this always been the case? Has it always been an indicator of good performance and just no one really put two and two together? Do you think anything's really changing at the moment?
Well, I think things are changing in the world. I think that companies are thinking about a broader set of stakeholders than they did in the past. I think that the assumption in the past was that the primary obligation of a company was to its shareholders. I think companies think more broadly now that they have a social role to play, which includes their employees, it includes the companies that supply to them, it includes their customers, it includes society more generally. So I think that's a factor. But to answer your question, I think that this issue of sustainability has always been there, and actually, you know, I think sustainability is a kind of proxy for good management, for good companies that have, you know, what we sometimes describe as a moat around them that protects them from competitors, because they're simply better run, better companies. So I think it has always been the case. I think investors are getting better at analysing it and seeing what the financial implications of sustainability really are.
Okay, well, Tom, that's all very interesting. I'm afraid it's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much for joining me, and thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week. Please be aware that the value of investments and the income you get from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information doesn't constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Eligibility to invest in an ISA or a pension and the value of tax savings depends on personal circumstances, and all tax rules may change. You will not normally be able to access money held in a pension until the age of 55. Reference to specific securities or funds should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities or funds, and is included for the purpose of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor.